isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he, that's my Lord, wonderful? Eyes and ears have heard what's before it in God's word. Isn't he, that's my Lord, wonderful, 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 says my mystery. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is free. Oh, saving me, lifting me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, great. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him, praise Him. Let's worship Him now. Praise Him in the noontime, praise Him, oh, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down, coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. The power of the Lord is coming down. Oh, when the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have His way, the power of the Lord is coming down. Oh, coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. The power of the Lord. Oh, when the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have His way, the power of the Lord is coming down. Amen. It's wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord, to worship Him, give Him honor, and give Him glory. I want to make all of our visitors welcome this evening. May you just rejoice with us around the word of the Lord. I just want to welcome you all, and may God bless you as you rejoice with us around the word of the Lord. Reach out and shake your brother's hand. Make him welcome. In the familia.
Que maravilla es tener una familia. Una familia en Cristo Jesús. Qué maravilla es tener una familia en Cristo Jesús. Una familia unida, una familia real. Que ama una familia sin igual, una familia unida, una familia real, una familia que ama una familia. Qué maravilla es tener una familia en Cristo Jesús. Qué maravilla es tener una familia en Cristo Jesús. Una familia unida. Familia real, una familia que ama, una familia sin igual, una familia unida, una familia real.
Just wanted to let you know that Friday we'll be having service at 7 o'clock. El culto va a ser el viernes a las 7 de la tarde. Nuestro hermano Ben estará con nosotros. El día de mañana va a estar con el hermano Rojas allá en Sierra Vista. Tomorrow, Thursday, he'll be with Brother Rojas in Sierra Vista. And then the reason we're having our service Friday is because we would like Brother Ben to get a little rest before he leaves. And we're only going to be having one service Sunday. Solo vamos a tener un culto domingo nomás, el domingo en la mañana. Y vamos a pedirle al Señor que nos ayude en el tiempo que nuestro hermano Ben va a estar con nosotros. Let's ask the Lord to bless us and to help us in the services that we'll be having with our brother Ben. We're happy that the Lord has allowed him to come and be here with us. He's just a couple of brothers here with him, Brother Eddie Weston and Brother Kenny Massey, that are here with him, and they've been through New Zealand and Singapore, and now they've come over here. They could have just gone straight home, but being the friend that he is, he thought he'd come by and be with us too. He was supposed to have been here last week, and the brothers in Singapore wanted him to stay another week out there, so he stayed, and that's why we're now having the services with him. So let's pray tonight that God will come and God will bless us. Amen. The psalmist said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide thee. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of the uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm happy today. Are you happy? Oh, I'm happy today. So happy today with Jesus, my Lord. I'm happy. He has taken up my sin away, and that's why I'm happy today. Oh, so happy today, so happy today, with Jesus, my Lord, I'm happy. He has taken up my sin away, and that's why I'm happy today. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my heart cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my heart cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. I got the joy bells in my heart. I got the joy bells in my heart. I'll sing his praises throughout the ages. I got the joy bells in my heart. I got the To have him here tonight. Amen. We greet him. We also make welcome the Holy Spirit and the precious word of God, that it'll come to our hearts and bring forth a manifestation. We're not here to hear a sermon, but we're here to receive the word, that it might come in power in a manifestation into our souls. Amen. As our brother Vin Dayal comes now.
Amen. The sound that sings, I rest thy peace. I was lost, but now
I'm blessed with him.
Let us lift our hands and sing His grace that taught my heart to fear. I taught my heart to fear. My grace, my fear, relieved. How precious, how precious. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, from the depths of our hearts, we are so thankful tonight that when we could stand in your divine presence and sing Amazing Grace, truly, Lord, it reflects what is going to take place on the other side. For remember the words of your prophet. He says, when we get over, cross that river into that land of fear, Lord, we'll all join that great heavenly chorus singing Amazing Grace. Because, Lord, if we make it, it's only by your divine grace. And we thank you, Lord, that grace is here tonight. Lord God, right amongst us. Your great Holy Spirit, you shed abroad your love in our hearts. Lord, the love that comes only by the revelation of your word. We pray, dear God, that if it comes so real tonight, it will take all the fears and all the doubts away. And Lord, it would cause us to lift up our heads and look up, knowing our redemption draweth nigh. It says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And Lord, we know fear is insecurity. But Lord God, since the word has been opened up unto us, we can recognize our position. Lord, your promise that will bring us to a perfect faith. May that dove tonight, Lord, of love and grace, lead and guide us into your truth. And Lord, may it bring us to a place where we'd see ourselves so plain in your word. Lord, we'd see what you're doing in this present hour. It would cause us, Lord, to come into such a great harmony with you. Lord, your Holy Spirit could have such a full control of our lives, Father. You could come to the control tower of our hearts, control our thinking, control our walking, our speaking. All that we do, Lord, be under the divine influence of your Holy Spirit. Bless us tonight in this service. Lord, we look unto you. You just take full control. You'll have your own way amongst us. We are fully persuaded that you know every need that we have, Father. And as we stand here in your presence, oh God, we just ask, thou will be done. And may, Lord, your Holy Spirit come so close. And Lord, may you touch every heart and every life in such a special way tonight that it will encourage us, Lord, to surrender more. Lord, your Holy Spirit can manifest that great omnipotence that we are told that When a man is fully surrendered, Lord, he becomes omnipotent. And Lord, let it be, Father. That is the hunger of our hearts. Oh, God, to see the word manifested without one flaw, to see Jesus Christ, the mighty conqueror, ride his trail once more. God, may you grant it. We pray and we ask these things. We commit ourselves into your hands now. Lead us and guide us in the paths of service tonight. And may you get honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. God richly bless you tonight. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to invite your attention to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 24. Also St. Luke 17. Certainly happy to be back here. But Isaac says, you know, we were supposed to be here last week, but we're still in Singapore, and then we went to Malaysia. And I just wanted to keep my word of promise, that I promised him that I was going to be here for a few days. And, you know, we trying to get out now to go back home, and everything seems so like the doors is closed all around. So you pray for us. You know, been away from over a month. I don't normally do that, and I'm just longing to be back home and be at my rightful place. But while we're here, we just want to serve the Lord and represent him and try to be a blessing to you. Amen. So you remember that request and prayer that the Lord will just work things out for us. All the flights are booked solid. It looks like we may even have to get a new ticket if things don't change, but we just believe prayer could change things. Amen. See, in Matthew 24, reading from verse 1. But Abraham says, every Bible scholar speaking about the end time goes to St. Matthew 24. And we know St. Matthew 24 is the opening of the seven seals. When Jesus opened those seals, so we just want to look in here because the seals is the book in its entirety. So if we could really look at St. Matthew 24 with a real understanding, I believe we'll see the whole book in plain view. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Three questions asked. Brother Abraham says, verse 1 and 2, if you notice, it was outside the temple, there was in Jerusalem, where the temple was the most holy place, in the most holy city, where the most holy people would worship the most holy God. And here was the most holy God in another temple, one made without hands. He was amongst them for 3.5 years, and they had failed to recognize the God that they claimed to worship. And here now he was in the center of worship. And you know, the disciples, they wanted to attract his attention to the temple. It was such a great thing to them, and they knew that God used to come down behind that veil in a great pillar of fire where the Shekinah glory would be, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and where the priest would go in once a year with blood. And it seems, you know, that his answer was so sarcastic. Here he was trying to show him, Lord, look at the temple. You know, it's the most holy place. It's good for us to be in Jerusalem and, you know, maybe get a chance to see the temple. And his response was, not one stone will remain standing, but will be thrown down. And he said that was Tuesday, the 4th of April, AD 30, in the afternoon. And then verse 3, It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, he was outside the city now. He had gone out of the city, he climbed up in the mountain, and he was sitting there, and it was in the evening time. So I want to get the picture real good. Here's the Lamb himself on the mountain top. In the evening time of the setting of the sun. And his disciples, after hearing him preach all these great things for 3.5 years, they had questions in their heart still. So they approach him and they begin to ask him, when shall these things be? That you spoke about, the temple being thrown down. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And his coming is that great secret under the seventh seal. All heaven was silent. So they was asking about that secret, that seventh seal, his coming. And the next question was the end of the world. And this, that's the sixth seal. When the end of this world is going to take place. And here it is, he begin to answer these three questions. And the prophet says, he says, right here all Christianity get confused. Because they fail to realize he's asked three questions and he's answering three questions. And verse 4 and 5, we know, was the first seal where he revealed the deception. And verse 6 was the second seal where he spoke of wars and rumors of wars, and that was bloodshed being shed. Verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. That was the third seal. And then pestilence and earthquakes and diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow, the fourth seal. And verse 9 to 13 was the fifth seal. And then there's a little portion injected. While Jesus was answering those three questions, he injected something between the fifth seal and the sixth seal. And verse 14 speaks of the gospel of the kingdom being preached to all nations. And verse 15, he was speaking about the temple again. About what Daniel the prophet had said. The abomination of desolation. And I want to get verse 21, which is between the fifth seal and the sixth seal. This portion that Jesus injected when he was teaching on these seals. And verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. And he was reminding them of what he had taught them in Matthew 7 about wolves in sheep clothing and these things. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So here he is into the second question now. Where they ask him, what is the sign of thy coming? So he begins to reveal the mystery of the second coming between that fifth seal and the sixth seal. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And then he goes right in, he says, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and shall the moon not give it light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So there are two tribulations there. One is the amateur tribulation of Hitler and Eichmann, where the Jews was hated of all nations for his name's sake. That's why he's saying, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, shall the moon not give its light, shall the stars fall from heaven. And he began to give them signs in nature that nature is going to take a tumble. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. See, then those things are going to happen. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels. Notice that he's singular, angels plural. With a great sound of a trumpet, singular. And they shall gather his elect. Now here's another elect again. Over here there's an elect. A Gentile elect. Over here's a Jewish elect. Amen. From the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. And then he goes into the parables. After the sixth seal, he goes into the parables. When its branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So, likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And we know that means from one condition into a next. Future home. You say it may sound like annihilated, but it's going to pass from one condition to the next. But my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And watch Jesus, the prophet says, with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, stand up there revealing those mysteries. And you know, if he's going to say something, he being the Word will not speak nothing outside the Word. So watch how, under his inspiration, he goes over to Genesis to reveal to them more of his coming. For as the days of Noah were, see, that's Genesis. As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And that's still the second question. What is the sign of thy coming? See? The coming is talking about, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, showing the social life, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. See, there's a spiritual thing happening while all the great social life of the people was taking place. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's three times he's dealing with that there. In Matthew 24:27 and Matthew 24:36 and Matthew 24:39, he's dealing with that, the coming of the Son of Man, and showing him when it's going to be. Let us pray one more time. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would so anoint our hearts and Lord, inspire the word to us. We could catch such a scriptural understanding of this hour in which we are living in. And just as you directed us, when you stood there answering those questions, revealing those seals, and here we are living in the hour of your coming. You directed us to Genesis. I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will just open up these things to inspire the faith in the hearts of your children. And Lord, that faith will cause us to soar into the heights of your word. We could see so clearly and come into the rhythm of your word, come into harmony with you. The Lord God, all these things that you've spoken and promised to be manifest in this hour, Lord, to become a living reality in our hearts and lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat? Amen. Just want to try to go quickly into the Word. Hope we, in the three services, I'd like to maybe just take it like a little series and just, if I don't maybe finish out where I want to finish out tonight, and then pick it up in the next couple of services. But the thoughts that are in my heart that I would like to share with you at this time, you know, I trust that God will just give us grace that we could just look at it and be edified and encouraged in the faith that we already believe. I want to take for the title the flashing red light of the sign of the end of the world. And for a subject, I want to deal with the last two questions. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? That seventh seal and that sixth seal, the sign of his coming and the end of the world. And to begin to maybe lay a little foundation, I want to read something here out of the seven seals, page 408 and 409. On this sixth seal, where the prophet, when you come to the sixth seal, you know, those seven trumpets sounded supernaturally under the sixth seal. And he was catching the inspiration, and he saw that where the coming of the Lord was taking place. And I trust that as we would look into it, it would become so clear to us. I know you already believe these things and already established these things, but just as Peter says, putting you into remembrance and stir up your pure minds. And you know, when I was here, I think here last in March last year, I was preaching a lot on the seven trumpets out of the book of Revelation, chapters 8 to 11. And I put three services there. And since those things, you know, you could see how much have shown forth of the environment being destroyed, of the whole world being destroyed, the planet we live on. And to the people in the world, it's just news. It's just world news. But to us as believers who have received a prophet in this generation, only reflecting what God is doing. Amen. Amen. Because there are people going to live in heaven also. And notice something. So right in there, the same erupting faith was laying the message. And God, leading spiritual scientists who working by inspiration, working by spiritual laws to achieve spiritual things. As man worked by laws of science to achieve advancement in science. And discovering more and more as the years roll by of what was in the message, we also see the church that was once coming along and couldn't even come out of denominationalism properly. And you know, in the message, like with one foot in the world and one foot in the denomination and one foot in the message. And then begin to kind of come along from stage to stage until finally we are coming into a place where we know it will be change. It happened to Abraham. Look in the Bible. When God called Abraham in Genesis 12, the man was a heathen. The man was an idol worshiper. And that is what we were outside there. Whether it was a denominational idol or whether it was an idol in the world. But God chose election. When he come down there and call Abraham out, you get thee out of thy country and I will bring you into a land. Out of and into, amen. And the man began to walk by faith, and the Bible says the man didn't know where he was going. But he began to follow God, and that was justification. That was like Luther. And then the man come lower down and in Genesis 13, and a famine come, and the man run down in Egypt. And then God had to come and you know, give him a more revelation to so he wouldn't be so insecure. That he will recognize if God called you, God will take care of you. Don't be dominated and influenced by what you see and what you hear. Amen. Through the eye gate, all the circumstances around you, look to the word that God has spoken. Then the man came out there, and when the testing time came, he and Lot had a big wrangle. Lot was carnal. Lot was going for the worldly things, the material things. And Abraham was beginning to recognize his place in the world. So Abraham had designed spiritual things. And there's always a clash when the natural and spiritual come together. Because one is carnal, just want the fleshly, natural things, and the spiritual one want the birthright. Like Esau and Jacob in the womb of the bride. Same way. And here, Lot, Abraham, recognizing his position, could tell him, he said, you choose first. If you go east, I'll go west. If you go west, I'll go east. And the Bible says that Lot, you know, looked toward Sodom. Material and prosperity, natural blessing. But Abraham went on the backside of the desert. But the reason that he could tell Lot take first choice, his faith was now beginning to recognize his position. At first, when the famine came, he ran down in Egypt. But now the same man. And after he separated from Lot, then what happened? God said, walk in the land now. East and west and north and south. And the man began to see his eyes. Bible says he lifted his eyes and he saw the land. Amen. And when that separation from unbelief and the carnal church came, revelation began to come forth to anoint his faith, put him in another atmosphere. And then Genesis 15, you know, he kind of had another setback. And he was watching his natural condition again. He got his eyes off the world and began to look at himself. And he said, shall I go childless? And began to question the promise. He had fear he was going to die. But the word said he had fear that is not made perfect in love. Because perfect love casteth out all fear. And the proof of God's love is what? Election. Not what you could do, what I have already done for you. So what did God do? God had to come to Abraham and begin to take the fears and doubts out to him. And the only way God could do it is by giving him more revelation. And more revelation was God shedding abroad the love of the Holy Spirit in his heart. Prophet says, what is the seals for? The opening of those seals is to take the fears and doubts out of the people. That perfect faith, they can recognize their position in the world. Amen. And see a finished work and have real rest. Amen. And then Abraham in Genesis 15 began to get more inspired. And God showed him the stars of the sky and these things, how much seed he's going to have. And that was sanctification. Then the man came and received a new birth. Amen. When God told him, nurse me, I'm the El Shaddai. Here he was fretting again. See? And he says, what does he do to the fretting baby? Nurse. And he says, he revealed himself as El Shaddai. Two breasts. Not one, not El Shad. El Shaddai. Amen. And he began to nurse him on the sincere milk of the word. He began to give him strength. Is that right? Little fretting baby to calm him. Put him to rest. Relax yourself. You don't have to woke up yourself into this. I am going to lead you step by step into it. And that was the Pentecostal age. And that's also the man who was a heathen now getting the Holy Ghost. Drawing the life of God into him. Then Genesis 18, Abraham sat in the tent door. And where he was sitting, a certain mystery began to unfold to him. The Bible says, and he saw the appearing of the Lord. Here, where he was sitting in the tent door, the mystery of the coming of the Son of Man began to be revealed to him. Same man who was a heathen, same man who was insecure, was now getting revelation of the seventh seal. And all the time in Sodom, the world was becoming more and more perverted. But this man was catching a revelation that God, the creator of heaven and earth, was on the scene. You think he could have talked that with a Sodomite? You think he could have talked that with a church, a denominational church member? Who he could have fellowshipped that with? And he sat there in that atmosphere. And while he sat there, he began to see the coming of the Son of Man. And he gave his rock confession. He called him Lord. Amen. So I treated him. But he called him Lord. And Abraham, while he was sitting there, seeing those things, here was the sins of Solomon heaped up so high that Abraham at that time, so happy to see this great thing, and the few moments he was going to spend in the presence of that one who called him out, that one who justified him, that one who sanctified him, that one who said, nurse for me, was the same one revealing to him his coming. Was the same one who was going to change him and give him a new body. And Abraham, he began to be so caught up in the inspiration of that revelation of the coming of the Son of Man, that by the time the revelation began to unfold, he was calling him the judge of all the earth. He was praying for Lot because that God spared his city. What was happening to him? He saw when it changed from the discernment to the revealing of the word. And Abraham knew it was a time of investigation, judgment, because he had come down to see what was happening. Is that right? And the same man who had followed that revealed word, who had followed his revelation, who at one time was running back in Egypt for help, one time fighting with his carnal brother. Amen. That same one now, here he was in an hour where he knew judgment was going to strike the earth. He knew the end of the world had come. And he knew not many days he was going to be changed too. And them Sodomites down there, the atmosphere, the darkness that they was in, the evil that they were in, my, more and more sodomy and perversion, and a lot down there trapped in all that filth and all those things down there. But here was Abraham in an atmosphere where he knew by revelation and by a visitation of Almighty God and by his understanding being opened up under the things that messenger was saying to him. He knew the end had come. And I think that's exactly about the same way it is tonight. Because from the time he saw the coming of the Son of Man, it unfolded into the end of the world. See, he knew the next thing was Sodom was going to be burned with fire. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be no more. And here was the same man who's an idol worshiper now talking about a change of body. Here was the same man who was wondering whether he's going to die and whether, you know, he's going to be childless, and, you know, he couldn't see no evidence of what was spoken as a promise by God to him being interpreted in his life. So it made him worried and concerned that he began to pray and say, God, am I going to go childless? Is this thing you told me really going to happen in my life? All them years, and those things were becoming realities to him. Amen. And here the prophet, when he says, I'm bringing out the flashing red light of the sign of his coming, and we're going to dwell on that tonight upon the days of Noah. And he said, it struck me the other day as I thought, maybe I'd try to take this and speak on this, writing down several scriptures I would like to refer to, maybe I'm reading a little bit. But now our Lord Jesus was asked this question, and he gave them the sign of his coming. And then immediately he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And then he said, learn a parable of the fig tree. When it's putting forth its branches, you know that summer is nigh. So when you see these things coming to pass or being made manifest, know that the time is at hand. And this generation shall not be done away until all these things shall come to pass. What generation? The generation that's seen the apostasy that we are going to speak of tonight. See? What it really means is the generation of people will not pass away. See, that generation will not pass away. For when we think of my text as the flashing red light of his coming, it reminds me of waiting at a railroad station. Now watch this now. He's seen it. He's in the atmosphere of the scriptures. And the coming is being revealed. And he looking around at the people that he was trying to identify them. Isn't this what Jesus said? Isn't this what Jesus said? Isn't this what he said here? His words couldn't fail. Look, he put a seal of promise. He says, heaven and earth will not pass away. And then he took back the same thing on the message, the unfailing word of promise, showing that Jesus put a seal on that promise. It will not pass away. It will come to pass. The word will not return unto him void. It will accomplish the purpose. Sure. And then he says, remind you, wait at a railroad station, that when a man or people stand around, as many of us has, when we was waiting to catch the train, and we can't hear the train or you don't see him, but you know it's time. Maybe the dispatcher say, he's a little late, he's not exactly at the time, but we don't know just when, but he will arrive soon. Here he was, the dispatcher. Even he was standing there. And then he says, and we'll walk around in the station with our hands in our pockets, setting our suitcases, go out and buy a bag of peanuts, talk to somebody across the street, four things there. Some with their hand in the pocket walking around the station. Some sitting in the suitcases all melancholy. You know, all kind of sad and discouraged and disappointed. You know, and then, you know, he says, then some, you know, feeding the little bag of peanuts. Every denomination, little denominational bag of peanuts. He says, and then, you know, then somebody talking to somebody across the street. He said, but all of a sudden, we see something happen. There's a noise take place out on the tracks. And when it did, the arm goes down, the red light begins to flash. What is that? The train is in the block. But while them denomination was carrying on, all of a sudden was a noise, a blast that shook the earth. Seven angels in the form of a pyramid coming faster than the speed of song. What it was, the train was in the block. Amen. Though you can't hear him, though you can't see him, but yet the flashing red light and that arm shows that he's coming in. And then if you're expecting to leave on that train, you better throw the bag of peanuts down, stop your talking, get up your suitcases and get ready or you'll be left behind. Oh my, cause he's just stopping locally. Amen. Just for a few moments, he'll be gone. If you still stand to chat with the neighbor across the street, you'll be left behind. How much more is it then when we see a flashing signal that he's in the blocks? The old gospel train is passing by pretty soon. You know, you ride on them subways, and you see a train coming in there and it stops and them doors fly open like automatic and everybody's camping to get in. And you know, before you look around twice, the door is shut and the train is gone again. And the prophet in trying to bring to us the atmosphere of the coming, of the suddenness of it. Though you can't hear and you can't see, amen, but you know it's about time. Something's supposed to be happening. Amen. And he took that message of the flashing red light of the sign of his coming. And he began to answer, you know, identify to us rather, that second question is already taking place, because he had that knowledge that he met that angel there who came and began to open up those seven seals. And when it opened up, every one of them was exactly in the Bible, and the message to identify the coming of the Lord was being given. And he would speak. He says, I waited all week for somebody to rise up and say, see something. Nobody was seeing nothing. But he knew in his heart it was happening. And he identified it. He had come. He was there on the scene. His presence was unrecognized. It was being overlooked. Because they couldn't recognize the day and the message. They were still looking for a Baptist message or a Pentecostal message. He said, if I bring that to you, it will have no effect. It's bright time. Amen. And when they begin to, here in Matthew 24, Jesus, in answering those questions, if you notice, he put his coming between the fifth seal and the sixth seal. Between amateur tribulation and great tribulation is when he places that coming right in the air. And after he finished answering the second coming and shows us the time when that is going to happen between amateur tribulation and great tribulation, in the time of the beginning of sorrows, when the work will be cut short, the days will be cut short. Amen. When there'll be a lot of false anointed ones deceiving many with signs and wonders. And in that time, it will be not the lion age, not the man age, not the ox age, but will be the eagle age. Because in that time, the eagles will be gathered together. Are we living between amateur tribulation and great tribulation? Are we living between the wars that run them Jews back in the homeland? Sure. Is it a time of great false anointed ones deceiving the whole earth? Amen. Are they all going to the ecumenical move to take the mark of the beast? Amen. So we see all those things moving in, just like he says, the work being cut short. He says on 24 Elders, page 638. This is 1961, right at the door, just a little time. And looks, Jesus said, now it won't run all the way out. He said, I'll have to cut the work short. If I don't, the atomic bomb will destroy all flesh. You see, for the elect's sake, I will cut the work short in righteousness, cut it off before the time. And this is the age of the quick, short work. Amen. This is the age of the quick, short work. So watch all those things. How clearly he knew the hour and where he was placing the second question, the coming of the Son of Man. And when he came to the third question and began to answer that question, the end of the world, he began to give them signs, environmental signs, showing that there will be a global ecological crisis. Not in one nation, but in the world, the earth. The stars will fall from heaven to the earth. The sun, the moon. His creation, what he created in Genesis. He'll say, you'll see what I create in Genesis by my spoken word. That whole thing will take a tumble in that hour. And it's going to happen right after he speaks of the lightning coming out of the east and shine unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, for wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And then he stopped there after he injected that. He says immediately after the tribulation of those days. Tribulation of Hitler and Eichmann. The announcing the martyrs. But that was in World War II, when they killed 6 million Jews, hated of all nations. And over 40 years have passed since amateur tribulation. But what was that amateur tribulation? What was them wars? World War I and World War II threw the earth into birth pains. Is that right? It was going to be birth pains, it was being destroyed. World War I, they almost burned up the earth with the poison gas and mustard gas and chlorine gas and these things, like Revelation 7:1 shows. Then World War II, they had a greater weapon, the atomic bomb. Then after World War II have been 40 years of bomb making, stockpiling arms. Like Joel Tree shows, they're going to beat the plowshares and the pruning hooks into swords and spears. What is that? Stockpiling arms. And Joel Tree says, to do what? Bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Bring them down to Armageddon. Bring them down to the third war. Because there's three wars. War, war, war. Three times the earth is going to go through in birth pains to bring forth a new world. Amen. Remember when he was here the last time, how we took those messages, I don't want to go back too much into that, about the earth being destroyed and the rivers being destroyed and the sea being destroyed and all those things. And it was the environment. It was the earth that God gave Adam as an inheritance. Amen. The very same earth said the meek will inherit the earth. And when they open the seven seal book, they begin to sing, "We shall reign as kings and priests on the earth." Amen. Have to do with the earth. And Paul says, the whole earth is groaning and awaiting for them sons of God who has fallen, because it was delivered into the bondage of corruption. But it will now be delivered into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's going to come back like a Eden. Amen. And sometimes people wonder, you know, how could that happen? You know, they see like 25 years or 30 years or a lot of years. But look what happened right there recently, last month, when that earthquake struck Russia. Almost 100,000 people was killed in one city where there were 30,000 people. They say it was erased completely off of the map. It took a couple seconds and the city was no more. You think of how long a man might have taken to build his own individual home. In a couple seconds, 30,000 people, communication systems, sewer systems, water systems. Amen. Electrical systems, all these things, communication systems, transport systems, housing development, everything. In a couple seconds, it was there, it wasn't there no more. And then, just as on last week right here too, California began to shake and shake again. No, it's coming because the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man, he comes three times. He comes in Genesis to Abraham in the beginning of the Bible, as we took there just now. And he comes to Abraham, natural seed, in the middle of the Bible. And he comes to Abraham, royal seed, at the end of the Bible. And each time he comes, the coming of the Son of Man ends with an earthquake and a resurrection. But when he came to Abraham, Sodom was destroyed. Is that right? It went beneath the sea. And Abraham and Sarah came back young. When he came in the middle of the Bible, is that right? The earth quake, and the rocks rent, and naked took a tumble, and the sleeping saints came up. And in these last days, what's going to happen again? The dead in Christ shall rise first, because the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice, and with a trump of God. Is that right? And all nature is going to take a tumble, because Jesus shows it right here. Now turn me quickly to Revelation 6. I want to just read a scripture there. Hope that has come up kind of clear to you. I leave these notes already. I'm just trying to speak by inspiration within my heart here. Revelation 6, verse 9. Now Matthew 24 is the seals in word form. Over here is the seals in symbol form. And the same Jesus who spoke it in word form is the same Jesus who revealed it in symbol form. And Jesus is not going to give one revelation there and another revelation here. Because when he gives it to them over here in Matthew, he gives them the scripture. And we see the both places he gave them in Genesis 6 and Genesis 18. Genesis 6, the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis 7, the end of the world. Genesis 18, the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis 19, the end of the world. Amen. That seventh seal, which is the coming, and that sixth seal, which is the destruction. All right. And we found out he placed that coming between the fifth seal and the sixth seal, between the amateur tribulation and great tribulation. So Revelation 6, 1 and 2 was deception, the white horse, just like it had over here in Matthew 24. Revelation 6, 3 and 4. Was the red horse, wars and rumors of wars, just like we had here in Matthew 24:6, Revelation 5 and 6, famine, just like we had in Matthew 24:7. See? Then Revelation 6, 7 and 8, pestilence and death, just like we had here in Matthew 24:7 and 8. And now Revelation 6, 9, which parallels Matthew 24:9 to 13. hated of all nations, them Jews. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now just hold here for one moment. Now notice just now in Matthew 24, between the fifth seal and the sixth seal, the Jews being killed, hated of all nations, and the great tribulation, with the sun being darkened, the moon shall not give its light, and the stars fall from heaven, Jesus injected the coming of the Son of Man, the gathering of the eagles, amen, showing the uniting time, uniting with the word, the elect, the bride uniting with the word, the eagles feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, showing the great time of deception. But between the fifth seal and the sixth seal here, nothing is written. He didn't give away anything. It went straight from amateur tribulation to great tribulation. That's why he says, immediately after the announcement of the martyrs, there was a great earthquake. And it was the earthquake that caused all nature to take a tumble. It was the earthquake that threw all nature into chaos, that caused the sun to be darkened and the moon not to give its light and the stars to fall from heaven. But in Matthew 24, nothing is mentioned about the earthquake. Jesus didn't mention about the earthquake in Matthew 24. So some is given over here and some is given over here. But he puts the coming of the Son of Man right between the fifth seal and the sixth seal, and the coming of the Son of Man always ends with an earthquake. And when he comes to the natural scene, when the earthquake nature went into chaos, and at the time the resurrection took place. Now what's something wrong? And he says, just like it was when Jesus arose and the earth went into spasms of earthquakes and the sun refused to shine, so it will be in this coming when the dead in Christ go into raise too. When that happened at the cross, let us finish this. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. What is that? Right now they're talking about the ozone hole is growing. That is more the atmosphere. It begins to depart, and depart is tearing back. And what's going to happen when it tears back? All the meteorites that ozone layer shielded us from, what you call shooting stars, what is burned out before it could come into the earth. When that atmosphere is completely destroyed, pulled back, all those things are going to come right into the earth. Because Jesus said it's going to fall upon the earth. And every mountain and island were moved out of its places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every slave, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now watch. So, Revelation 6, 9 to 11, them souls under the altar, was the same ones who Hitler and Eichmann killed under the amateur tribulation in World War II. And Revelation 6, verses 12 to 17 is in the last half of the 70th week when Moses and Elijah come. I will send my angels with the sound of a trumpet. And during that time, the all nature will be taking a tumble. Amen. And they will gather the elect here. But there must be a gathering of the Gentile elect first. The coming of the Son of Man. And Jesus says, that is going to come. That one is going to come between the amateur tribulation and the great tribulation. So the great tribulation, that what is the great tribulation? It's environmental signs that he gave. He gave signs of all nature taking a tumble. No, and he said, and he was answering the question of the sign of the end of the world coming directly after the sign of his coming. When did the antediluvian world was destroyed? Not after the prophet called the elect and they were shut away in the ark. And then who went through the prophet's message, came back out in the new earth? After that sand civilization was destroyed off the earth? Then the same way, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, the Gentile world, after the Son of Man came? Was it burned with fire? And that's the two places that Jesus gave. And then when he's teaching it here, in symbol form and word form, in Matthew 24 and Revelation 6, both times, he brings in that end of the world coming directly after the sign of his coming. Turn with me, let me read some scriptures a little bit. Maybe you could help make this a little clearer. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. Verse 6. You know Isaiah is a complete Bible in itself. Like Matthew 24 is the whole book. Isaiah is the whole book too. See? And Revelation is the whole book also. Howl, verse 6. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. See? Oh, he said, men's hearts filled with fear. Pangs and sorrow shall take a hold of them. They shall be in pain like a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land, that is it, desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it, the earth and the inhabitants of the earth. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. And I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of its place. Is that what Revelation 6 says? All the mountains, all the islands will move out of the places. The earth shall remove out of its place. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Let's turn to Isaiah 21. 24 rather. 24. Verse 1. Isaiah 24, verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Here the earth and the inhabitants again. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priests, that's religion, and with servants, so with his master, that's labor, and as the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller. See, commerce, trade. As with the lender, so with the borrower. banking systems and these things. As with the take of interest, so the give of interest. The land shall be utterly emptied. Is that what's happening? All kind of, there's a global financial crisis. There's a global ecological crisis. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord had spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitant thereof. Who is destroying it? The inhabitant. Them who destroy the earth. And he will destroy them who destroy the earth. Because they have transgressed the laws. See, everything is governed by laws. When God created in Genesis. But what they do? They break into God's laboratory. And begin to tamper with nature. And begin to backfire on them. And they say, this last summer is the summer when the earth struck back. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. But he's going to send Elijah before the earth is struck with that curse. Is that right? Yeah. Sure. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned. What happened to the Gentile world after the Son of Man came? It burned. What's going to happen after this Elijah? The earth is going to be burned. Already get water and blood, but it's going to get fire too. Is how he's redeeming it. And few men left. And then verse 17, let's drop down a bit. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And you know, remember them trumpets? The first four was the earth, then the next three was the inhabitants of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. Snare come upon the whole world, you see. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is thoroughly dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a booth, a tabernacle, a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the hosts of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Exactly what Revelation 6 talk about, the kings of the earth cry out when they see the destruction coming. One more, let's just take maybe Joel. Joel 1. I want to show you that Jesus was reading those scriptures and telling us, because Isaiah saw it. And then Jesus, he began to identify those things upon the earth. When it's going to come, and he placed it right at the end of his ministry. Joel 1, verse 15. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Here even Joel saw it. Is not the food, the meat, cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. Famine in the earth. Millions dying of famine daily. See? The food, the meat cut off naturally and spiritually. See? And he said, joy and gladness even from the house of the Lord. You know why? Because like Jesus told the disciples, you're anxious for what you're going to eat, and you're anxious for what you're going to wear. See? In that hour, when that oppression begins to come, it says here, the seed is rotten under their clods, and the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn, the grain is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Why they have no pasture? All the grass being destroyed. Yea, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate. So when the grass and the trees and all things being destroyed, what is happening? The animals begin to get affected because it's the food chain being broken down. They were showing the food chain. O Oh Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. It's always happening today.
Sure.
And then they're going to have all the atomic fire too. They're going to break down the food chain. And then what's going to happen? Man is going to starve on the face of the earth. Great drought. In the evening tribulation, talk about 3.5 years, no dew, no rain is going to fall. Is that right?
Sure.
What's going to happen then? The beasts of the field cry also unto thee. Oh, for the rivers of waters are dried up. All the rivers been polluted. All been dried up, drought. When that solar radiation begin to come through and burn man and scorch man, because that ozone hole is growing. The heaven is going to depart like a scroll. See? Then all them ultraviolet rays going to start to burn up people. Then atomic power, when America is destroyed by the bomb and the Vatican is destroyed by the bomb, all our radiation going to destroy people. All our dust going to go up there and block out the sunlight. Sun won't shine for quite some time. Sure. In the Bible. And the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire had devoured the pastures of the wilderness. See, because one of them angel had power to scorch them with fire. So look at the grass, the trees, the rivers, the animals, all being destroyed, famine and drought, a nuclear holocaust, the food chain being disrupted. Now Jesus, reading the Old Testament, begin to teach them that there is going to be an environmental crisis in the last days. And all nature is going to be disturbed. And it is man, the inhabitants of the earth, who have destroyed the earth. Just like in the days of Noah, and Jesus looking back in the seed of the Bible in Genesis, found where there was an ecological crisis before the Son of Man was revealed and before the end of the world came. Because when Noah came, the earth was destroyed and the earth was filled with violence. And God says, the end of all flesh is come. And right between that time, he sent a prophet with a message of coming judgment, of redemption and judgment. And Jesus, looking back there, began to give them signs. Now, I know many of you have seen this already. See? Now watch. Now this shows endangered earth. And just the end of this year, here was Time Magazine, then Life Magazine, then National Geographic. See? They all begin to highlight the destruction of the earth. What it was. Something that so startled them. Then Discover Magazine showed the greenhouse effect. That's really a scientific name. Prophecy, like you said, cancer and tuberculosis and cataract. Is it a scientific name for a devil? And the same thing that Jesus teach about in the Bible is a scientific name they're giving it. They call it the ozone hole is growing. He said the heavenly part like a scroll. It's the same thing. Showing the earth is being destroyed on that first trumpet. What it was? It was the earth being destroyed, the grass, the trees. Then they had, don't go near the water or polluted oceans. All the sea being destroyed and polluted. Then the rivers and the lakes. Acid rain, the silent plague, destroying all the rivers, all the lakes. Then toxic winds. See? They say a witch's brew of exotic chemicals is wafting from factories and farms and tainting air and water and fish and fowl and you and me. And then
the atmosphere, the ozone hole. Now what is that? The earth, the sea, the rivers, the lakes, the fountains, and the atmosphere. And what is causing it? The population curse, the inhabitants of the earth. Now here it is, these things that science has begun to identify and it shook up the world and threw scientists and world leaders into panic. The whole earth being destroyed. And they said they don't even have about 10 or 20 years left. And they think that it could even happen faster should in the event a great volcanic eruption would take place. They said we can't stop it, the most we can do is slow it down. Now is this global ecological crisis what Jesus spoke about in the third question? Because we are in the midst of the second question. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, which is the message, the flashing red light of the sign of his coming. And then, the end of the world. Is this the signs of the end of the world? Coming in, that when the earthquake comes, now they don't see that there's going to be that earthquake that is going to throw all nature into a tumble. When Jesus, as I close, when Jesus came to that third question, the sign of the end of the world, he said it was immediately after the tribulation of those days. And Brother Abraham says, he says, right after the announcing of those matters, he says, so we see the church is about ready to take its flight. Because the Jews are back in the homeland. And this generation have run out since the amateur tribulation, which was the gathering of the Jews back in the Palestine, when you see the fig tree put forth its bud. And during that time, he says, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what's something? I'm going to go into it just now. I'll just maybe take this. And Joseph represented Christ. And Joseph was a perfect type of Christ. And Christ is those seals. Those seals was revealed in Christ. He is the mystery of God revealed. The entire plan of redemption was revealed in Jesus Christ. And Joseph being a perfect type of Christ, then when God showed the life of Joseph in the Bible, he put all them secrets that are going to cover those seven seals in the life of Joseph. In Genesis, because Jesus begin to show us his coming and the going of the bride is going to be right in that time between amateur tribulation and great tribulation. And we see that the time we're living in, the age when the work is cut short, in the time of the beginning of sorrows, in a time of investigation, judgment, in a time between amateur tribulation and great tribulation, in a time of deception, but in that time the eagles is being gathered together. Where the carcasses, and the carcass was the unfailing body word of the Son of Man being revealed. And the life of Joseph, notice nothing is written, I show you, between that 15th and the 6th seal. And the same way God didn't show anything between the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement in the book of Leviticus, nothing is there, is a silence. But those things, he says, is written in types and shadows in the Bible. And that is where God's secret is. Because we see, as we look at Genesis just now, the calling of the bride, the dismissal of the bride, the changing of the bride meeting the bridegroom before she goes to the father's house, the wedding supper, where the bride is going to be. We see all those things in Genesis, in our type. That's why it could be taught in the New Testament, because it's in the Old Testament in our type. And the life of Joseph, all seven feasts, is revealing the life of Joseph, because he's a perfect type of Christ. Because those things in the Bible, like the gathering of the Jews, like the Jews back in the homeland, gathered back, Jesus showed his coming is going to be right in that time. And the Son of Man ministry always ends with an earthquake and with a resurrection. So we know there's going to be an earthquake and there's going to be a resurrection at the end of this one, because the Bible also promises it. Now look at Joseph. In the Bible, when Brother Abraham said, he said Joseph, when he came forth, was more spiritual than his brothers. See dreams, see visions, could interpret things. And they hated him, which was his own ministry. Then when Jesus came, he was rejected of his brethren, like Joseph was rejected. Then, what happened to him? He was nailed to the cross. He said, Christ on the cross was the antitype to Joseph in prison, where the buckler and the baker was there. And Jesus on the cross was what? The feast of the Passover lamb being slain. So Joseph in prison was a type of the feast of the Passover. And then the feast of the unleavened bread, he said, this is my body is to be broken, my blood is to be shed. And that was his death also. So Joseph in prison was also a type of his body being broken and his blood being shed, because it was a type of Christ. Then the next feast that followed was the feast of the first fruits, which was the resurrection. What happened when Joseph came out of prison? He ascended to the throne. Is that right? To the right hand of Pharaoh. Nobody can come to Pharaoh except through Joseph. And Christ, when he ascended, he went on the right hand of all power and authority. And then, after he ascended, what happened? His brothers had rejected him. He ascended to the throne. He had all power now. He chose a Gentile bride. Because the feast that follows the feast of Pentecost, feast of first fruits, is the feast of Pentecost. And the feast of Pentecost was the time when he's calling a Gentile bride, a people of the Gentiles, for his name's sake. And what did Joseph do after he ascended the throne? He chose a Gentile bride. All right. Then, at the end of the Feast of Pentecost, is the Feast of Trumpets. And after Joseph had a Gentile bride, what took place? Joseph's brothers begin to gather back together in a time of economic depression. And what happened after the Feast of Pentecost? The Feast of Trumpets. The Jews begin to gather back in their homeland. Then after the Feast of Trumpets was the Feast of Atonement. And Joseph's brothers begin to weep and cry when they begin to recognize Joseph, who they rejected and had chosen a Gentile bride. Amen? During the time of his brother's blindness. But now that they were regathered, he was revealing himself to them, telling them it was for a purpose, to save life. And we see that in the end, after his brothers was gathered back and revealed himself to them, Joseph and his wife and his brothers live in that land where he had dominion, and at the sound of the trumpet, every knee had to bow when Joseph, the son of prosperity, was coming with the type of the millennium. When the desert going to blossom and all these things, whenever Joseph returns. And every knee shall bow. But we find out there was something happening between Joseph's brothers being gathered back and Joseph making himself known to them, was he had to dismiss his wife to the palace. Because in that hour, he was talking in a language that his brothers couldn't understand, though they was gathered back. But his wife could understand every word he's saying. Amen. Amen. And it's just right about there, the church is ready to take its flight between amateur tribulation and great tribulation. The bride must be dismissed. And that fifth seal was what? That fifth seal, them souls on the altar being killed, was the gathering back of the Jews. And that sixth seal is the feast of the atonement. Joseph made himself known to his brothers. But nothing was written between the fifth and sixth seal. But in Matthew 24, we saw the coming of the Son of Man. We saw him being revealed. So look where we are. What I'm saying is these things that is happening. Abraham saw the coming of the Son of Man, and then he broke into a revelation that it unfolded into the end of the world. In the days of Noah, Noah began to see something. Just let's stand to our feet. I want to read one scripture while they stand, so I convince you we finish. One scripture in Genesis 7, as we close with this. It was very outstanding to me when I saw this the other day. The flashing red light is a sign of the end of the world. Then if that is happening, we're in the midst of the second question, we already see the signs of the end of the world, all them environmental signs of environmental crisis, all these things that Jesus spoke of taking place. The scientists are already predicting everything that Jesus taught is going to happen. And it shook up the world so much that for the most widely published magazines, Discover Magazine, Science, Life Magazine, Time Magazine, and National Geographic, every one of them highlighted those things. I look right here in March, when it was here last March, I began to preach and show that the earth being destroyed and all those things right inside of the earth. Because remember, Revelation 10 is the title deed that Adam forfeited. Just like when Naomi went back in the homeland and Ruth was coming in, and that earth had to be redeemed then. Then how close are we to the going away? How close are we to that last earthquake? Right to the cross, remember dispensation change. And right where the Jews look on him and couldn't see the real mercy seat, and he rent the veil of the temple in twain, showing he had no blood in that old temple. But here was the real mercy seat. Right there, under that sixth seal, is the same scene going to come back, and the Jews can be right there again. But they will see the sun refuse to shine, all those things, and then they're going to look upon the one whom they have rejected. He's bringing them right back at the same spot with the same conditions. And while that is going to happen, here there will be a resurrection, and the bride will be fixing to go. And people, the Gentiles, already blinded to reject the Son of Man that Elijah revealed. And the gospel, just like it left the Jews and went to the Gentiles, so it's going to, he that is filthy will be filthy still, and will go to the Jews again. Because Jesus placed that earthquake right there at the end of the ministry of the Son of Man that is going to bring a tumble for all nature. Revelation, Genesis 7 as we close. Verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and the beasts that are not clean, and the fowls of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah in the ark, and male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. What is that speaking of? A great earthquake. And the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all cattle after the kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after its kind, and every fowl after its kind, every bird of every sort, And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the bread of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. So notice, even down to the closing of the doors before the judgment is being revealed in Genesis. Even down to the coming of the Son of Man, the last pull was to Sodom, to the total loss, when he left Abraham and went down there, was revealed in Genesis. Every, down to the most minutest detail, is right in the Bible. And to see that the hour that we are moving into, all these things wrong about us, Abraham sat there in that tent door, and he was going to. And bore up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon it. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. Notice, it was happening in stages. The judgment of God was coming in. And it was coming in gradually. And while it was coming gradually, Noah was being lifted up gradually too. It says the water was on the earth, and the waters increased, and the waters prevailed upon the earth. And then the hills begin to cover, and then the high hills begin to be covered. And then it says, verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And what was happening? It reached the place where Noah was above the entire earth. Even the highest mountains were covered. And the prophet say, the ark that he built by the preaching of his message transformed into the skies, into glory. And he went above the earth, rode above the judgments, and came back in the new earth after that civilization was destroyed. But while he was there, he saw the judgment for the rejection of his message coming in gradually, and he was still there. He was still there! And it was coming in, and coming in. And then he began to be lifted up, and lifted up, and lifted up. And way back in 1964, he said, judgments have already started in the earth. Look where it have come to. But Noah shut in, sealed in, could see the judgments coming in, but he couldn't do him nothing. He was being lifted up, way above it, into glory, to come back into the new earth. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, can you see? It's these things that has thrown all the scientists and world leaders into panic, and has alarmed the people so much. Is these things tied to that third question? The flashing red light, the sign of the end of the world? We're in the midst of the second coming, and we've already seen these things coming in. It's just going to take that earthquake, and that very earthquake is what it's going to bring that resurrection to. For the same earthquake that threw the earth in the chaos at the end of the ministry of the Son of Man, was the same earthquake that brought up a resurrection. And he said the same would happen there, it's going to happen back here. And the same way the gospel leaves the Jews to go to the Gentiles, same way it will be finished with the Gentiles and go back to the Jews. Then how close are we at immediately after the tribulation of those days, those can begin to happen? Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. As you think on these things, so much more could be said, but I know you see it and you see the picture. What I'm trying to bring and show you. What about you like Abraham, who was a sinner out in the world, but had followed a revelation after God called you out and began to change your life? Until in that hour, you were fixing to be changed. That is not strange for us tonight. Because we see that in the Bible. Like Noah, a simple farmer, called of God. But a revelation struck his heart. He knew the end of all flesh had come. These very things that we are seeing. Sometimes you wonder what is happening. Is there anything going on, Lord? But can't you look in tonight and see how clear, how late it is, how far advanced we are? We're right on the threshold of the resurrection. May God tonight, if you realize that you're eating a little bag of peanuts maybe, or talking to somebody across the street, or hanging around with your hands in your pocket, in an unconscious state of what's really happening, won't you throw on them peanuts and grab your suitcase and get ready to step on board tonight? Prophet said, after all the end time signs that showed itself, Israel moving to Goshen. And they got on that blood, it had the token on display. Almighty God, Father, I pray tonight that these things that I try to bring to the hearts of your people, out of the scriptures, out of the message, these signs that are showing themselves, Lord, saying something to the world, Lord, they're in panic. Scientists predicting dramatic climatic changes. Islands going to be covered. The atmosphere going to be destroyed. The earth being destroyed. Lord, they realize that the planet is so broken down. It seems that there is no hope left. Now they're spending billions of dollars in space exploration, trying to find another planet with life upon it. Because they fail to see. In the same way you washed off that civilization in the days of Noah and brought back the elect upon the new earth. In the same way you're going to wipe off this sand civilization and bring back the elect on the earth. But because they don't know, Father, they're trying to go into outer space. But Lord, here tonight as believers, seeing these things and then seeing where it fits in the Word, and seeing it, Lord, in the continuity of the revealed Word message, seeing the trick questions that you answer, seeing, dear Lord, where you place this great environmental crisis right at the end of the ministry of the Son of Man. And Lord, here we are at the end of that very ministry, seeing all these signs begin to show themselves. I pray, dear God, that it bring an urgency in our hearts. I pray, oh God, it pushes us into a desperation. I pray, oh God, it causes us to take inventory of our lives. I pray, oh God, we search and check and see if we are in the faith in this hour. Oh, Father, for it's little than we think. May, dear God, as the scriptures open up and the Holy Spirit inspire it, Lord, it bring us into a readiness, into a preparation, into a consecration, Lord. May tonight these words go deep down into the hearts of the children. May it cause them to ponder these things like Mary pondered them. As they go to their homes, Lord, as they sit in their bedrooms, Lord, as they would meditate on the scriptures, as they search the scriptures and see whether these things be so, as they search the message of the hour. See, dear God, it's not many more days. They knew it not until the flood came. But the prophet said, no one knew when that door swung shut. No one knew when it was finished. No one knew, Lord, when it was over. Only he and his little group knew. So I pray tonight, Lord, that these things will not sound like a bunch of rattling noise. But Lord, it becomes so clear, the great drama will be made real. Oh God, we see, we hear the drums of the finish now. We hear that trumpet, trumpeted out them notes. Oh, we see the change coming up again.
another change in this great symphony. Grant it tonight, I pray, Father, as I commit these people in this message that have been spoken. Lord, may you just deal with each and every heart, and may it cause us to lift up our heads and look up and to love your appearing. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The tune is back to Brother Isaac as he comes.
The day of redemption is near. Man's hearts are failing for fear. The signs that the prophet foretold. The Gentiles they number with horror and cumber eternity's soon well unfold. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. They fill with the Spirit in your land. Are shaking and many are mistaken. God's meaning to be up the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour, the day of redemption. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamp is and look up, your redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear, but the opening of the word is to take out the doubts and the fears of his people. Isn't it wonderful? This is not a Genesis seat here tonight, and it's not a prophecy, and it's not a revelation. This is the vindicated word that is being spoken unto us. It's no longer a mystery, but it is something that is coming to pass. It is something that is here. He said he would come as a thief in the night. We are at that great flashing light of his coming, the flashing red light of the end of the world. We are here. Oh, young people, wake up. Look, the new president talking about a new awakening, a new breeze coming. It's just a false hope that is being given unto the people. But the word tonight unveils and tells you the truth, wanting to bring you to a real hope, the hope of the resurrection. That is our only hope that is here in the earth. You know that? There is no other hope.
The only hope is that resurrection.
We are there. We have arrived at that great hour. Brother Bannon said there, she goes into frustrations. See, the earth will take a tumble. She goes into frustrations of great spasms of earthquakes and great shakings like it was at the resurrection.
And he said it could be in any minute. Do you believe that?
We're there any minute. We're here. Every sign, everything has been proven unto us. All the evidence are there. Everything is there.
Let's throw those bag of peanuts away. Let's stop talking across the street. Let's look into the Word and let God come to pass in our lives. Let us pray before we go. Father, we thank you for your Word. May it be a manifestation in the hearts of your people. May they awaken by this great light that has come forth to tell us this thing that is here. Judgment is striking everywhere, Lord. We are here, Lord. We have seen, as our brother brought us through the book of Genesis, they're showing us the life of Abraham and coming right to the end to judgment. And we are there. We have seen the discernment, the last thing that was to happen on the earth in the hour that we're living in. For we know, Lord, that after the Son of Man ministry comes forth, that resurrection. And we're there, Lord, for the changing of our bodies, waiting and believing. We also see, Lord, the side of my condition. The judge of the earth here, judgment striking everywhere. The little bride interceding everywhere she could intercede, trying to get Lot to come back, to come out. The hour is late, Lord, help us to see the mystery being revealed by the great Elohim to our hearts. Lord, may we be able to see it in the hour that we live in. Help us to come to this great understanding and the manifestation of your Word. We thank you, Lord. Bless our brother Vin, Lord. We thank you for the Word tonight. Lord, bless us now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. May God bless you. They come from the east and west. They come from the land afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed his pilgrims are. Behold, it is
and fly.
Continue on hearing about this word, amen. Let it be a reality in your hearts. Come hungering and thirsting and say, oh God, open it up to me. Reveal it to my heart so I can see. I think our minds, our finite minds, cannot understand really what's going on. The brother was trying to show you, even in your own language, the magazine showing you, education showing you, everywhere. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Men don't know really what to do. They just come up, they don't want to really tell the people everything that's going on, but God wants to tell you exactly. See, when Elohim came to Abraham, he told him exactly what he was going to do. He said, shall I keep it away from him? No, he said he told him exactly what was going to happen. So may God bless you. We'll be here 7 Friday. El viernes a las 7, Dios les bendiga. Reach and shake somebody's hand before you go. They come from the east and west. They come from the land afar. With the king to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are. Beholding his allure. Aglow with light divine. Blessed partakers of his grace. As gems in his crown to shine. Then Jesus has set me free. God bless you. I'm happy as heart can be.